It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Cheeky's and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action this season at the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Cheeky's and Pete's. Find a location near you at cheekysandpete's.com. So after the game, Reed Blankenship was asked what Coach Sirianni said to the team after the loss. And here's what he had to say.
What did they tell you guys in the locker room after that?
Honestly, I mean, just keep our head and help out. Jalen led everything. No coach said a word. It's a player-led team at the end of the day, and we know that what we did was detrimental to us. You know, we made mistakes, offense and defense, but it's going to take everybody.
What was Jalen's message?
Pick your head up, man. I mean, it's football, you know, and we just got to be better at doing the little stuff, the little details right. You know, we can't make mistakes. So
Ike, you've played football a long time. Played football. You've been around football a long time. And I'm glad that Jalen Hurts, took the initiative of addressing the team after the game. Have you ever heard of a situation where a head coach does not say a word to the team in the locker room after the game and the quarterback is the only one who talks?
Only of recent memory. Like that, okay. That never happened on any team that I was on.
Yeah.
Just make that clear. I don't ever remember the head coach not speaking after a game, wins or losses. But of recent memory, these guys, particularly with the Eagles, I think, was it last year started?
So it was the Jets game when they lost last year. That's the first time we heard about it.
I think last year may have been the first time. So with this team, I've heard that a couple times now where the players sort of took ownership and they are addressing the team. I don't know what to take from that. I don't know if that's a negative or a positive. Maybe
it's just weird.
Yeah, players taking ownership, right? It's the whole self-policing sort of thing. Is it they don't want to hear from the coach? I don't know if that's the case. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. What's interesting to me is how it gets. How? What are the conversations that end up with them in that position, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're Sirianni, I would just assume, if that were me, now I'm not a head coach of a football team, but I would just assume, okay, game ended, we blew it, I'm going to go talk to him.
I would imagine one of the leaders probably said to him, Coach, don't worry, let me get this, let us get this.
Well, and it was Jalen that talked, which is different than last year. Last year was
so,
not Jalen.
I don't know if Jalen goes to Nick Sirianni and says, let me, I don't know.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
That's it. You know? It's just weird. I think overall the last 6 months has been weird for if you're Nick Sirianni. Mm-hmm. It's a little weird. All of it's a little weird. Just sort of the removal of the input on the offense, the stuff where, his interactions with Jalen, at least during games or even in practice, is less so. The hiring coordinators that I would say that we believe that is probably Howie and Jeff deciding who to hire the coordinators. And then all of a sudden when the game ends, it is a weird situation to have him not talk, is all.
But it did happen last year.
It did, right. Yeah. It happened last year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It happens in baseball, right? It's times where Rob Thompson doesn't say a whole lot, and the players, especially in tough times, right? We yell and scream about Rob Thompson should say something or do something, this and that and the other, and the players are like, no, we got this. We'll handle this.
I guess it's just from years of me watching videos on TV and on the internet of the coach talking after the game. Mm-hmm. Especially in football, it just seems like that's what happened. I just thought it was interesting that he mentioned it. Now, I think it's good that it was Jalen.
What do you think is more impactful, Nick Sirianni speaking or hearing it from the leaders on the team?
I don't know. Because I assume that Nick Sirianni is one of the leaders on the team.
Yeah, but there is something to players taking accountability for what happens in the game and then players speaking up. Like, we'll view that as leadership and good leadership. It's only in this situation where it seems awkward to outsiders.
Again, I also don't know if it is bad or good.
Yeah.
It's just different and interesting is the only thing. I can't figure out if it's bad or good. We'll be able to tell at the end of the year. We'll be able to tell next Sunday whether it's bad or good. 215-592-9494. Max in Delaware, you're on WIP. What's up, Max?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Look, to me, putting this all on Saquon, I fully grasp what happened with that play and how critical it was that he dropped that pass. But to me, like, that's the low-hanging fruit, saying that's the reason we lost that game. First of all, I knew this was going to be a close game, and I think the people weren't giving the Falcons enough credit of how scrappy of a team that I think that they really are. And I had a strong feeling that they were going to keep pace with the Eagles, and it was going to be a tight game. And to me, it comes down to leaving that 3 points on the field when they went for it early on fourth down. Man, I know it's been said all day, but you got to take freaking points. You have to take points. If they take that field goal and they have those 3 points, the second that they didn't do that, I text my buddies in our group chat and I said, that three, leaving those 3 points on the field is going to haunt them for the rest of this game.
That's not how it goes. You can't just
–
Hold on, Max.
How do you put more weight on something that happens in the first quarter than what happened at the moment of truth in the fourth quarter?
Let me finish and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because – if they take that field goal with how close that game was, okay, first of all, we're all just giving our opinions here. So, really, I mean, nobody's wrong or right.
Well, no, I'm just asking you to explain why you think there's more weight on something that happens in the first quarter versus what happened in the fourth quarter at the moment of truth.
Because if they have those points, okay, everything else that happened in that game could have played out the exact same way.
But it wouldn't.
But it wouldn't have played out the exact same way.
We don't know. We don't know how it would have
played
out.
Right.
You're assuming that to fit your argument that what happened in the first quarter matters more.
Because you leave points. This is the NFL, man. You think you don't leave points on the field? You know, everybody knows
Hold on. I didn't disagree that they should have taken the points. I said that. But you came on to dismiss that the Saquon play wasn't more impactful, and nobody's saying Saquon's the reason they lost the game. I said if he catches the ball right there, the game is over.
I agree, and I know that. But my point is if he doesn't catch the ball,
which he did,
for the sake of argument, is what I'm saying is if they take the field goal early in the game, and that game goes exactly the way it did,
but it wouldn't have. That's not how it works. No, Max. Max, no, no. If you change a play in the game from a non-scoring play to a scoring play, literally everything from that point on, the rest of the game changes. The Falcons are in a different position because the Eagles have points that they didn't have. The Eagles are in a different position because they have points that they didn't have. Nothing is the same. Nothing is the same. So you can say that you wanted them to kick the field goal. That's fine. But it doesn't mean that there is absolutely no chance, 0% chance, that the game goes the exact same way as it did if they kick the field goal. None. Everything's different. The Saquon play doesn't happen. Maybe Jalen ends up throwing an interception that he didn't because he's at a different point in the field and the Falcons are playing it differently. Literally, everything is different. It is mind-numbing for you to say that the Eagles would have won if they kicked that field goal, and that is somehow more important than in the most important play of the game, Saquon Barkley, who is a great player, dropping an easy pass for a first down and potentially a touchdown. That would have ended the game. There's no argument for the field goal being more important than the Saquon play is.
I'm not saying it's more important. What I'm saying is in a game that close, when it comes down to the fact that regardless of how the game plays out, if it plays out even close to a similar way of how it did last night, you don't know how that game's going to go. You don't have a crystal ball. They still win because they have more points at the end of the day. This isn't boxing. There's not judges that are saying, at the end of the game, the Eagles look better, so they're going to go ahead and get the win. No, it's simple math. You have the most points at the end of the game. You win unless it's a tie.
The game is not math. The game is a game played by humans who make decisions based on other things that happen, Max.
But the analytics is math, right?
What?
The analytics that got us to that point is math. Analytics are math. But I'm not even...
Right,
not
and
even
they are argument. An analytically focused organization that made a decision to go for it on fourth down.
And analytics, sometimes you just got to say, what's actually happening on the field in reality? And what should we really do here?
All right, so here's the thing. I understand that everything is a combination of art and science. But you cannot just say that your gut is right when it doesn't work, and that analytics are wrong when they use it and it doesn't work. Like, they are, you can make the right call and it fails, just like the potentially the call at third and three when they threw it to Saquon. Like, it just,
yeah.
I apologize for yelling at Max, but I've now heard this for 12 hours.
And this isn't blaming Saquon
no,
for the loss.
No, it's just a fact.
Yeah, it's not blaming Saquon for the loss. It's just saying that your playmaker had an opportunity there to seal the game. That's what he's paid for. You know, any running back, they can have any running back out there, not a running back that's making nearly $13 million. It's a reason why they gave him the ball 26 times last night. That should have been the 27th. like that's what he's paid to do. And again, I love his comments after the game because he knows that's what he's paid to do.
Sure.
He knows that's what he's paid to do. Yes.
Everybody in the locker room knows he should have caught it. And because they respect him and because he's a good player, no one's going to hold it against him next week. But it happened.
Yes.
That's it.
And because it happened, now we're analyzing all the other things that happened prior to that. Right? Like, so we love Saquon being here. So now we want to erase him from the equation and let's focus on everything else besides that play.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design and find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Biggest reason the Eagles lost last night. Here are the four options. Kellen Moore, defensive line, Sirianni, Saquon.
Ooh.
What do you think is the got the most votes there?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sirianni.
Defensive line.
Defensive line. Okay.
Defensive line, 53%. Sirianni, 33%. Kellen Moore, 5%. Saquon, 9%.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's one of those games that I don't think it's making excuses by giving a little bit to everybody.
To everyone.
But last night is one of those games where they all contributed to the loss. Yes, like the last caller, Max, said, Nick Sirianni, instead of kicking the field goal early, he could have taken the points. I was on my way home. It was in the first quarter. I'm listening to Uncle Merle and Mike on the way home. Uncle Merle said it before he kicked the ball. I would take the points here.
He's a big take the points guy.
Yeah, Merle Reese said that before he made it, before he kicked it. And I'm thinking it in the car, but at the same time, I'm like, all right, he's been aggressive. It's early. Let's see what happens.
You know, so I was okay with him going for it.
Yeah.
And here's why I thought about it. Because I thought about last week's game against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the only reason that we were even in the game is because they scored 3 instead of 7 on their first two possessions.
Right.
And that is that kind
and
of
they had
thinking.
I think it was either that first turnover or the second one where they could have went for it.
Yes, and they
chose
not to.
They chose not to.
And if they get it, now risk is a funny thing because everyone thinks about, well, if you don't. You know what I mean? But what happens if it fails? What happens if it fails? I think that they went into that thinking – this game is a completely different game if we have 7 rather than 3. And how much better the Eagles, you know, even looking at their offensive game plan, that was a keep the ball as long as possible. And if you go up 7 there and you put your foot on their throat a little bit on that next drive, all of a sudden that
now you force Atlanta. Maybe they have to throw the ball.
Maybe
more.
They're not giving the ball to Bijan Robinson as much and blah, blah, blah. And it failed. It failed. Yep. I understand that it failed, but I understood the thinking behind
it. The logic behind doing it.
Yeah. For sure. 215-592-9494. Chuck, Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you feeling?
What up, Chuck? Hey, yes, sir.
Listen, you said, how did Jalen play back this? I just want to know. I'm curious.
I thought he played great last night. I did. Well, I thought he played great last night. Listen, he's playing without his number one target in A.J. Brown. So he has to make do with what he has out there on the field. Devontae Smith is getting a lot of coverage rolled to him. Devontae Smith isn't the most explosive player in the world, so he's more of a possession, route-running type of receiver. So he's not scaring the defenses about beating him over the top. You know, part of the issue last night, I thought, was sort of the play designs in the game plan. I didn't think there was enough Dallas Goedert plays in the game plan last night. Way too much Brenton Covey stuff for me. Brenton Covey is a nice, cute little player that is an add-on. You know, who the hell goes into a game with Brenton Covey as part of the game plan? That I'm going to try to get the ball to Brenton Covey. Who does that?
I hear what you're saying, right? But here's the thing, right? I still see a player that has not progressed. I still see a player.
What did you like about Jalen's game last night? What did you like about Jalen's game last night?
He kept rolling to the right, you know, just going to the old, well, you know, what's comfortable for him. I don't see him step up in the pocket. I don't see him target Dallas Goedert. You know what I mean? You know, it could have been play calls for Dallas Goedert. He threw it to him three times. He only caught the ball three times he threw it to him. The guy had 173 yards, one touchdown. He leaves a lot of meat on the ball. Every game. When the last time, Mike?
How many big plays did he make with his legs last night? How many big plays did he make with his legs?
I don't care about that. That's not sustainable, dog.
I know, but I understand that, Chuck. But here's the thing. We got to be – go ahead.
Have we brought the bar so low for this guy? I mean, this is a $250 million
I got to – but here's the thing, though, Chuck. I have to adjust my expectations when his number one guy is out. He's throwing to Devontae Smith. Jahan Dotson, where was he on a milk carton last night? What other receivers are out there? Paris Campbell, Brenton Covey? Like, how many yards do you think he's supposed to throw for last night? Nobody's open. He has to take off because no one is open. I told you guys that Atlanta's secondary was very good. A.J. Terrell, two all-pro caliber safeties back there, and Mike Hughes is a pretty good corner. Like, Atlanta's secondary was better than we gave it credit for. What receivers did the Eagles have last night besides Devontae Smith that you want them to throw the ball to? We targeted a guy six times last night, and he caught six catches for 23 yards. Six times last night, he got 23 yards.
You could count on him turning the ball over at least once a game now. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about
it was a bad decision. Yes. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to excuse the turnover. I'm not going to excuse it.
No, you got plenty of time to work the field.
Yes.
He has to be held accountable. I'm sick of this Jalen Hurts love where it's like, no, he needs to. Listen, you missed your best player. I understand that. But do you ever take into consideration that when he rolls out to the right side of the field, he cuts off his whole left side of the field? Plays could be opening and developing. I don't care about him rushing the football. I've seen that before. It's 5 years.
It's what he had to do last night. Hold on. It's what he had to do last night to get through that game. And it may be what he needs to do more of next week if A.J. Brown is out next week. And here's the other thing, Chuck. Listen, the last interception, I didn't think he made a good decision there. I would have liked to have seen a better play call there that sort of manages the middle of the field, trying to get yardage to get in field goal range. I agree with you. I'm not going to excuse the last play. It was a bad decision throwing it over the top. But we spent an entire 9 to 10 days ripping this dude after a win. For making bad decisions. We spent 9 days ripping the dude for a win. He didn't play bad last night. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if you scored without his legs last night. He only had one wide receiver to throw the ball to. That's all he had last night. And he did what he could do. It's not about Jalen Hurts love. It's about being fair. We ripped the dude for a week and a half. He deserves to be ripped today. He was the reason they lost last night. Come on, man. Be fair. He wasn't the reason they lost last night. He wasn't.
He didn't do nothing to move the needle. I mean, what I'm saying is, when have we, even with A.J. Brown in the game, I put A.J. Brown in the game, when have we jumped on a team? When the last time we've jumped on a team? That's how you help your defense out.
I can't change your mind about what you feel about Jalen. All I'm telling you is I didn't think he's at the top of the list last night for being blamed for the loss. That's all I'm telling you. I'm not here making an argument. He's a top five quarterback and all that stuff. All I'm saying is last night, until he made that, until he had that bad throw at the end of the game, he was the reason they were in the game and winning the game, in my opinion.
Thank you for the
call. When has he – Listen, when have we ever jumped on a team? It's been a while. What I'm saying, it's been a while since we jumped on a team, Mike. And what I'm saying is this, right? What I'm stating to you is this, right? Even with A.J. Brown in the game, nothing looks smooth with him. It's just like a sandlot offense, man. Let me run around and make something happen. Even with him in the game, when is he ever going to run the offense the way it's supposed to be ran, man? We are 5 years into this thing, man. And we talk about winning the Super Bowl with this guy? Are you kidding me? 173 yards, one touchdown. That's all our $250 million quarterback gives us. You know what I'm saying? Gives us two touchdowns last week. A.J. Brown's fully healthy in the game. And he still ain't do much. He turned the ball over twice. When do the blame go fall solely on his feet?
It usually falls on him. Oh, now we're going to act like Jalen doesn't get criticized. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to act like Jalen doesn't get criticized.
Jalen gets criticized
more than anybody in the damn city.
Yeah, besides Bryce.
Yeah, well.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, you stop it.
I'm talking about Bryce Huff.
Oh, you're the worst.
Good comeback. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I think the thing with
I didn't know if you were still here.
I think
you got nothing to say. Cat got your tongue today.
Nah, well, listen. I mean, they're 2-7 in Jalen's last 9 starts.
Yeah,
there he goes. I mean,
you're right. Be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's good to see we're finally realizing he's Andre Miller.
Well, you know, the thing with Jalen is, I think the complaints about a game like last night are about less about last night and more about what they hope he is, as opposed to what he actually is. You know, like I just think at some point, we're going to have to recalibrate. It's time to recalibrate 2022 and put it behind us. It happened. But I just don't think that he is not the sort of spectacular, top of the league, you know, wowing, making plays quarterback.
He doesn't have to be.
No, I'm not saying he has to be. I think you can win without. I don't think you can win with him like that. But I think when they criticize him for a game last night, it's because they're expecting him to be something that he probably is not.
Sure.
And I think there are other – and again
– listen, McNabb got criticized for not being Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
And
so – and that's why his 4 championships, conference championships, and the trip to the Super Bowl won't ever be appreciated. But most quarterbacks, if they've done that, had done that throughout their careers, their jerseys are hanging in the rafters and they're celebrated. But when you're compared to the best in the league, where this kid is going to be compared to, the Mahomes and all those guys, what he does isn't necessarily going to be fully appreciated.
No, and we spent the whole week saying we want him to not put the ball in harm's way and run the ball more. I want him to run the ball more. He ran the ball more. He didn't put the ball in harm's way. Now, the throw at the end was a mistake.
Yep.
It was a bad mistake. However, and I can't believe I'm saying this, you start looking around the league and the numbers of quarterbacks, the yards and the touchdowns are not what they were 3 years ago for quarterbacks. Quarterback touchdowns are down. Quarterback yards per game are down. There is something happening defensively in the league that is making it harder for quarterbacks to succeed the way that they did. So, on two levels, I think we need to recalibrate what a successful quarterback looks like. And we probably – and by the way, all that comparing to Mahomes, we're responsible for that too, because everybody did that after 22.
Yep.
But that was 1 year, and we've had other games since then. He's probably not that guy.
Well,
but he is.
I'm pretty sure he's not that guy.
Yeah, but he can be. I think he can be. I think you can win with him there for sure. And last night, I would not put him very high up on the list of reasons that they won last night. I think it's telling. We didn't put it in the Twitter poll. I don't think anybody is saying that. I think you can be critical of how he played. You can be critical of that interception, but I don't think anybody thinks he was the reason they lost last night. Okay, coming up next, Donovan McNabb helps us break down the play of Jalen. some of the calls that were made, the Sirianni slash Kellen Moore calls. And we know Donovan likes to weigh in on the defense a little bit. He specifically requested it last time. So Donovan McNabb joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.